The World Champion Dodgers have some World Champion podcasts. Don't miss a chance to catch up on Dodger Talk by podcasting it on the iHeartRadio app. Just search Dodger Talk for new episodes every weekday and after each game. This is Jackie Robinson Day on the home of the Dodgers. KLAC Los Angeles, KYSR HD2 Los Angeles, an iHeartRadio station.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
And we continue on, Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. We don't want to keep the man waiting. He's kind enough to call, and we want to get him right on the air because Dodger fans want to hear from him. Zach McKinstry, welcome to the show, and thanks for doing this today.
Happy Jackie Robinson Day, guys. Happy to be here.
Back at you. Hey, I'll tell you, you have been the most incredible surprise for Dodger fans, but have you surprised yourself?
Honestly, so far, it's just been great to be there and definitely surprised myself a little bit. I didn't hit a home run in college, and I've already got three in this young season. It's pretty cool. It's a great experience.
All right, Zach, I got to start off, man. You're already family. You're already family, man. You're giving all kind of love to my man, RJ. Over there, who's the clubby over there with you guys, and then you've got a stalker in my wife, Holly, who has already stalked you on social media. But first off, I just want to say thanks for showing all the love to RJ. He's been dying to get back, missed out last year because of the pandemic, but just to be back in the clubhouse, he's so excited. So thanks for showing him love. But for you, you know, I just wanted to talk about opening day and just how, you know, seeing your jersey in that, in the locker room, what was that like for you to be there opening day?
Oh, it's such a great experience. I love Colorado. I mean, I got my first hit there. Then I end up hitting my first home run there. It's just a great place to be. My girlfriend's family's from there also, so they were in the stands, and it's just a lot of fun going there and getting to play there.
Three home runs so far, 11 runs batted in. You're hitting, what, 333 on the season. Talk about that home run, the first home run in Colorado, where I guess it was an inside-the-park home run as it played out. Talk about that.
Yeah, I thought I hit it pretty well the other way. Tappy made a great play on it, just kind of snow-coned it, and then it came, like, ejecto mitt kind of just flew out of his glove when he hit the fence, and luckily I saw the ball trickling around out there on the warning track, and I just didn't really know what was going on, so I just kept running. Dino, our third base coach, was just kept waving me, and I just kept running, and looked like he kind of figured out that the ball was kind of still in play, he probably thought it went over the wall after it, you know, his glove. He did the other day, or with Bellinger on opening day, so he probably just figured it kind of went out. But yeah, it was a really cool moment, and my family got to be there, watch me score. And after the game, we got to go on a little walk after the game outside, and they just kind of embraced me, gave me a huge hug, and my dad said, "Hey, how cool is it to be leading the Dodgers in home runs?" So that was pretty cool.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, talk about how excited you were to be drafted by the Dodgers. I mean, of all teams in baseball, you know, you could have gone anywhere, but the Dodgers, the historic franchise, drafts you, and now you're hanging out, you're leading the team in home runs, you're playing alongside a guy like Clayton Kershaw, who was pitching in the big leagues when you were in high school, man. So what's that feeling like?
It's a great experience. I mean, these guys are very welcoming. I mean, they're great teammates, and they just try to help me get better. I mean, a guy like Mookie Betts just going out of his way to teach you a few things about the outfield, talk to you about how he goes about it or how he goes to a fly ball, and it's a great feeling to go in there every day and just, you know, you're going to learn something new and just try to get better.
What's been the biggest adjustment for you, Zach, here in the big leagues?
Just staying confident. I mean, every day you're going to go out there and you're going to play 162 games, so it's going to be a long season, and just trying to keep my body healthy. And I know I haven't got to experience yet, but I've played 142 games, and 20 more games is a lot more. And it's going to be a battle just to try to stay ready in that role of the utility guy, and just try to play the season, try to win every game, and that's my goal.
Hey, Zach, people have been talking about you for a long time. Our own David Vasse has been mentioning your name and saying, watch out for this guy. And you know, sometimes when people say that, you're like, okay, well, watch out for him. But it has turned out to be really true. When you're drafted and you're going through the minor leagues and people have expectations of you, was there ever a moment that you were like, man, am I ever going to get there? Or was it like, I can't wait to get there, and when I do, I'm going to do exactly what I'm doing right now, which is making the most of every opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, I can remember back to a day where I was like 14 years old and I was just kind of over it. Our team wasn't very good, and just kind of over baseball. And then just that spark of baseball when I, you know, got to high school just turned for me, and I just took it in and embraced it every day and just love playing the game and enjoy it that much more. But it's a great feeling to have, just go out there, put a jersey on. And I mean, just that in itself is rewarding. I smile every day I get to put that Dodger jersey on, and it's a great feeling.
Zach McKinstry, our guest, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. You know, it's funny. Everybody that describes you with two words, baseball player. Dave Roberts, baseball player. Oral Hershiser on the telecast, baseball player. When you hear that, what does that mean to you?
I mean, that's a great compliment. These guys, they've been around the game for a long time. And I mean, honestly, it just means that I'm just going to try to help the team win any way I possibly can. If that's driving in a run, a guy on second base, or even just butting a ball and moving a guy over, you just try to play the game as much as you possibly can. And maybe you're one step ahead of the other team, and you get lucky and hit a home run or whatever it may be. But definitely just try to help the team win every day. If I'm in right field, left field, second base, shortstop, third, wherever I may be, just, you know, playing the game and playing it hard.
Hey, Zach, you mentioned that, you know, Mookie Betts is really been helping you and kind of teaching you how he's, you know, gets it done. As a young player, have you received any razzing or pranks from the older veteran guys yet?
Not that much. Just carrying a few things on the planes and, like, you know, holding a bucket full of, like, iced beers or whatever it may be. But nothing too bad yet. I mean, I'm sure as the season goes on, I'll see a few things, like seeing it on the bus or whatever it may be. I had to do that a little bit last year too. But it's all fun and games. And these guys, they just want you to feel part of the team and get to embarrass yourself a little bit in front of them.
I mean, you've played so well. You've hit the ball so well. And now, you know, you love being in the lineup. You know, Cody got hurt, gives you more of an opportunity. If you're not in the starting lineup, how do you feel that day, given the way you're playing?
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of go out at it the same way I would if I was playing. I get in the weight room, do my foam rolling or whatever lift I might have that day, and get out on the field. I try to run a little bit. Just if I'm not playing, I'm probably not going to sprint as much during the game. So try to get a few sprints in. And then, yeah, once the game rolls around, hit a little bit in the cage, stay hot, stay loose, ready to go, warm up the arm a little bit, maybe throw the ball into the cage or something like that. But I like to watch the pitcher, see what they're doing, watch the catcher, see if he's got any signs to tell me, or, you know, he's moving in and out early or whatever it may be, something I could use on the base pass or whatever. The catcher's moving in out, moving in on a fastball, moving away on off speed, just trying to watch the game.
Yeah, and with the Dodgers, you know, Dave Roberts, since he's been here, they have been probably the best in baseball at utilizing the depth on the team, and they certainly have a lot of depth. So even when you have a day off, you really don't necessarily have a day off because the seventh, eighth, ninth inning rolls around. Your number is probably going to get called on a Dave Roberts team.
Yeah, definitely. He likes to use his whole bench, and I think our 1 through 26 is better than anybody else's in this league, and I firmly believe that. I tell the guys that every day that we got to be ready, and Luke Raley, a guy that's just coming up now, he's kind of learning that same role that I had last year, this year, just to be ready and working in the cage, making sure you're staying hot, making sure you're staying loose. Maybe a double switch comes on in about the sixth inning, and now you're playing four innings that day. So just staying ready and watching the game.
I asked you what was the most difficult adjustment for you. What has been the biggest thing you've learned?
I've learned so many things from these guys. Just try to take it one day at a time and try not to make any situation too big. Just keep it simple and, just play the game and don't let it get too big and just, take it easy. And it's early on in the season, and I know I'm going to go hard and dive, so just take care of my body and stuff like that.
All right, Zach, listen, I'm going to give you the green light, okay? When you're in the clubhouse and RJ's acting up or he's slacking off, man, you got the green light to get all over him, you know?
RJ's a great dude. He's a great dude. He loves being in the clubhouse with us, and he makes it that much better, too. When the first day, I heard JT, RJ, how's it going, man? Missed you. All that stuff. It's great to see, everybody's like a family there, and it's a lot of fun. These guys embrace everybody, and it's great role models to have.
You know, before we let you go, you just said everybody's like a family there. So is Trevor Bauer the wacky uncle from next door? What is it like? Because, I mean, we only see what we see watching him. Right. What's it like being in the clubhouse with him?
Trevor's a great dude. He's very, when he's like just in the clubhouse, he'll have his camera, but he's just another guy, and he likes to have fun, and he likes to just videotape everything, which is really cool. I mean, if he's going to go back on these memories when he's older, he's going to be able to show his kids, and they'll get to live the memories with him. So that'll be really cool for him. He'll have all these memories, and he'll get to look back on it.
All right. Well, and maybe that's what it should come to an end, because we just lost Zach. But Zach, if you can still hear it. Oh, there you go. All right. If you can still hear us, thanks for coming on today. Everybody's really excited with what you're doing, and just love watching you play. So thanks for the time today.
Thank you, guys. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, we got you. We got you now. All right, Zach. Have a good one tonight. Thanks again.
Thank you.
You know, Rodney, when you talk to him, they describe him as a baseball player.
Yeah.
After you talk to him, he's a baseball player. You know?
He is dialed in, as they say, right, Fred? He's dialed in on playing baseball, learning, soaking it all in, and very focused, you could tell.
Okay, we've got the Lakers in Boston, and our insider Bill Arum will join us next.
That's right. On a Throwback Thursday, it is Jackie Robinson Day around Major League Baseball, around the country, around the world. It's Jackie Robinson Day. Let's never forget the iconic figure, Jackie Robinson, and what he meant to not only baseball, but to all of us, to the whole world. Breaking the color barrier, not only in sports, but in life, and showing a mirror to the United States and the rest of the world. Jackie Robinson, a legend forever. Never, ever forget.
And Jackie Robinson, the Dodgers. Once again, our thanks to Zach McKinstry for jumping on the show here at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. If you missed it, if you're just getting in the car or listening online at work or on the app, it'll be in the podcast. And remember, the show is podcast every day in the iHeartRadio app. Feel free to give a listen. And if you're just out and about, you want to take the show with you, we're streaming live on the iHeartRadio app every day. Okay, fans back at Staples tonight, and I believe that means Bill Arum will be there. Bill, will you be at Staples tonight?
Got the result back on my negative test this morning at 3 a.m. from my neighborhood pharmacy, so I'm good to go. I'll be there also night among the 2,000 or so fans who were finally going to be there.
So are you counted as 2,000, Bill, or is it?
I don't think the Lakers would want me as a fan anyway. So no, I don't count. I don't count on the list. So I think, you know, over the course of time, there's been about 30 media members at each game. I think that more or less that's going to stay true. But then they're going to open the gates to, you know, I think primarily season ticket holders. But you know, we're going to see some live bodies in seats, which is going to be exciting. You know, I wrote a story back in January about the Lakers fake crowd noise operation and the guys who were up there on the switchboard, you know, running that thing. And as fun as that was, it doesn't hold a candle to, you know, having real people, you know, cheering and screaming. And you know, even if it's 2,000 people, it's going to be kind of, I guess, the slow drip of the beginnings toward normalcy. So I'm excited to see it finally.
All right. And what do you think about the protocols that are in place? No bags of any type. Some of the female fans, the ladies are upset with that because there are things they want to carry, and apparently they won't be able to carry them. Also, Jacob Amrani told us you're not allowed to yell. You cannot yell. Keep your mask on and do not yell. Well, what is that going to do? How does that work if you're sitting there but you can't say anything?
I missed the no yelling, so that would be one I did not see. I definitely caught the bag uproar during the on Twitter yesterday. My biggest question is, you know, what about when a guy gets hot from the floor and he starts doing all kinds of crazy layups and all sorts of great basketball moves, Talen Horton Tucker, you know, when he's going off, you know, you might hear, you know, one of the broadcasters say that he's in his bag. Well, does that mean he's going to get thrown out of the building?
Two shows nightly at Pacoima Hilton.
Well done, Bill. Very solid.
I literally just did a rim shot motion here. I'm standing on the street walking my dog, and like if anyone saw me, they just saw me rim shot my own joke, which is super embarrassing, but more embarrassing that I'm telling it to your 73 million listeners right now.
All right, Bill. So they're back home. And, you know, I think you have to consider it a successful road trip because they were more up than down, and certainly given the current situation with the team. But tonight you have Boston. Now, Ben McLemore and Andre Drummond, how much of an impact have they made, are they starting to make, and as you continue to forecast, will they make?
Well, I think it's been up and down. And, you know, Ben McLemore has actually been probably delivered a little bit more on what you would expect relative to his expectations. You know, he's hit threes. You know, he's come in and kind of done what you would ask of him. Andre Drummond has had a couple of nice games and a couple of where he's really struggled. And you heard him say after the game the other night that he's playing, you know, the worst offensively of his entire career. And I don't think that that's actually true. Frank Vogel disputed that as well. But he's still getting comfortable with the guys who are passing him the ball. And it's going to be interesting to watch going forward because the way he's playing right now, the Lakers are giving him a lot of post-ups. And he's not really finishing those, and that's sort of his bread and butter. But once you get AD and LeBron back, there aren't going to be as many post-up touches for Andre Drummond as there are right now. So, you know, he's trying to get comfortable in one system and, you know, maybe try to lay the groundwork for when those guys come back. But then he's going to have a relatively short learning curve to adapt to playing with LeBron and AD when they do get back, you know, closer to the end of the month or whenever that ends up being. So, really unique situation for Andre Drummond and the Lakers having both their stars out at the same time at this point in the season on lengthy injuries. I really can't think of a scenario where we've seen this before. And I think that Andre Drummond's the biggest wild card, how he adjusts to those guys. Ben McLemore, I think, is going to be fine. I mean, I think he's the 12th, 13th guy on this roster. He's got one job. You know, you've heard the saying, you had one job. Ben McLemore is a guy who literally has one job. Make threes and you've got a job. So, you know, Andre Drummond, I think it's a little more nuanced, but I think we've seen a lot of positives from him. You know, obviously was interrupted by that toenail injury, which like really sounds painful, guys. We hear a lot about like injuries. It's like, oh, you know, strained calf, and I don't think anything of it. But when you talk about a toenail getting ripped off, I suddenly start thinking about like hostage situations, and I just get very uncomfortable. So I'm glad he's back on the court.
Yeah, let's put some matches underneath and start lighting them underneath the toenails and have them come off. Yeah, no, it could be, especially for a guy that plays basketball in that size. The toenail is difficult to deal with. So that being said, because he's mentioned that too, I'm just trying to get into the flow. I'm trying to understand the new offense, everything like that. Does it make it more critical for both LeBron and AD to come back with a few games before the playoffs start so they can kind of get some sort of rhythm together?
I mean, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, I think at this point, like, the guess would be that maybe they'd have, like, 10 games left by the time they had everybody healthy. And that seems like enough time to sort of get, you know, up to speed, sort of, in the sense, you know, a preseason is usually, like, 6 preseason games. Sometimes teams do as many as 8. I think, you know, AD and LeBron are going to come in knowing what to do. It's going to be a matter of sort of getting comfortable with Andre Drummond, those guys getting back into game shape. And hopefully we'll get an update soon. I mean, it's really been interesting the way the Lakers have handled it. We really haven't gotten a clear update or timeline on when we can expect those guys back. I mean, there was an ESPN report, which is helpful in kind of providing some markers. But in terms of, you know, a timeline to hold themselves to, the Lakers really haven't said anything about either guy. So we're kind of playing pin the tail on the donkey in the dark here.
Yeah, and I think they haven't provided the exact timeline because, A, they don't want anybody to really know. B, I'm not so sure they know, Bill.
Yeah, I mean, these are difficult injuries. I mean, the high ankle sprain, you know, we've talked about being a 4 to 6 week injury kind of from the beginning, but that assumes that, you know, it's just a sprain and there's not a bone bruise involved also, which can really, you know, complicate things. And, you know, we haven't heard one way or the other on that. And then with AD, you know, we've talked about this so many times over the last 2 months, but, you know, tendinosis is something that, you know, it's really the result of, you know, repetitive trauma to the tendon. And so it's not necessarily something that just goes away or has like a strict timeline, like so many other injuries. A torn hamstring is 8 weeks, let's say. You know, tendinosis is something that is ongoing. And I think that, you know, it's going to be give Anthony Davis as much time off as you possibly can. And then, you know, let him see how it feels. And I'm sure that they've been doing that. I'm sure he's been testing it out. And I think that's why it's maybe felt a couple of times over the last couple of months like maybe the end was in sight for him, and then we don't see him again. We still don't see him. So I think, you know, it's going to be a matter of comfort for him. But at some point, you know, as long as it's not something he's going to make worse, and obviously you worry about that in that area with the Achilles and the calf, if he can physically be out there without doing harm to himself, you know, when the stakes go up and it becomes the postseason, you're going to see him probably being more willing to play through things than right now when the stakes are just so dramatically lower.
Yeah, but isn't that the scary thing about what he has? I mean, knowing from, you know, having a couple of Achilles surgeries and tears myself, LeBron's with the high ankle sprain, it feels like it's more about tolerance, whereas AD could feel good or it could get a little sore, but it feels like that could be a little bit more concerning. And if you're sitting in the playoffs and it's game 6 or game 7, do you let him play through soreness in his Achilles, or do you hold him out?
Yeah, that's a great question, Rodney. And I think that's almost the unknowable question of this situation is what can you do to give him the best chance to not have that situation occur? Because you're talking about a 27-year-old big man who you just signed to a 5-year max contract. To me, you know, if it's game 6 of a playoff series, he's got Achilles soreness. You know, you have a relatively tight window with LeBron James, but as painful as it is, you know, I think that you've got to make the decision to hold him out. You've got to make the long-term decision that's best for your franchise. And that's a really difficult thing to do. But to me, you know, if they find themselves in that situation, it's you know, it's just almost the impossible choice. So I think everything you're seeing them do right now is to try to eliminate, you know, that it's to basically take that conversation off the table.
All right, Bill.
Is that your dog, Bill?
Yeah, what's going on, Bill?
My dog's not barking. It's just, I'm in the neighborhood, guys. Like, I'm standing in front of, like, one person's house. It's probably like, why is this guy loitering and yelling into his headphones?
Before we let you go, they're going to unveil the banner tonight. What do you
think? Not true.
They're not?
May 12th. They're doing it in the regular season finale. At Staples Center. It'll be May 12th instead of tonight. There was some talk about doing it tonight, but, you know, they're only going to have 2,000 fans in the building. And so the hope is that they'll have more by the end of the regular season. And so the plan is to do it at the end of the regular season instead of tonight. I was pro doing it tonight, by the way. If they had called me and asked what to do, I would have said, do it tonight against the Celtics. You know, stick it in the Celtics' ear that you've got 17 titles now also. But that's not the way they went.
Okay, well, they didn't want to call you because they weren't sure you'd had that negative test yet.
But I have now, so now I can be in charge
okay,
of making
good.
All these decisions.
Good. So what time will you get there tonight, Bill?
You know, I'll be there around 5 o'clock if you want to come say hi, Fred. Wow. Okay. Are you going?
No.
You're going to ask him what he's wearing, letting, Fred, too? What's the world?
Yeah, what are you wearing, Bill?
Business, what are you going to eat before, Bill?
Business casual from the neck down, but I'm going to wear my my formal mask.
Oh, very nice, Bill. Very, very nice. All right. Well, have fun tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Okay. There he goes, our Laker insider, Bill Orr. Yeah, I thought initially, Rodney, they were going to unveil the banner tonight.
Yeah, that was the word, right? That
yeah.
They were going to do it tonight. I guess we were they change of plans.
That's why we have Bill.
Yeah.
Okay.
What time are you going to get there tonight?
Well, I was just wondering. You know, I didn't know. You know, given what time the game is, you want to get there later.
It'll be interesting, right?
You don't want to be around people. Do you think
people are going to be hanging out, LA Live, just hanging out there? It may be, crowd out there.
You know what's interesting? If you've traveled around the country, you have. I've been out of the state. And there are places where, here, keep 6 feet, wear your mask. Yeah. There are places in this country where there's no pandemic.
None. Yeah.
What are you talking about? Pandemic. There's no pandemic.
Yeah.
Everything is fine.
Everything is normal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, if you're from California, believe me, it's a little different than it is everywhere else. So it will be interesting to see. Because I know some people are saying, we're starting to open things up. Thank God it's about time. There are other people in this state that are saying, we're starting to open things up. Why are you rushing? What's the rush?
Right.
We got to be careful. So I don't know if there'll be people hanging out, but you would think that there will be security down there encouraging people not to be congregating around others. Because in other states, everybody walks around like there's nothing wrong and it would be no big deal. Here, I would think maybe there'll be some people down there making sure that everybody is distanced and trying to be safe. Okay. Earlier in the week, you know, we did discuss the homeless punt catcher at USC. And it's funny, Petros mentioned this on his show, that no one's really reported that. The Times didn't do it. The Daily News didn't do it. I didn't see it anywhere. But the guy that initially had it was Scott Wolf. And he has covered USC for 500 years. I mean, he's done it. That is his business. He knows everybody there. If he says something, it's true. So what we'll do is up next, let's bring Scott Wolf on the show and get an update on the homeless man that was catching punts on the football team. Next hour, Vinny Bonsignore will come out at about 2:30. Just the movement around the NFL, what the Rams are doing, and teams getting ready for the draft.
Just a little bit, Ronnie. Just a little bit. Happy Throwback Thursday. Happy Jackie Robinson Day. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan, AM 570 LA Sports coming at ya. Got a lot going on. Lakers, crowds. No bags. No bags, Fred.
Can't carry it in. Keep it in your pocket. Leave it at home. 2,000 fans tonight at Staples Center.
How many think the things they you think they confiscate tonight?
Well, if you got a bag, it's not going. That we do know.
I mean, your pockets, whatever. You know, somebody trying to sneak something in a pocket. Oh, you can't get in with that. Either go home or throw it away or give it to us. You can't get in.
Sort of like airport
like the
security.
Airport. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think anybody will make that mistake. Because that'd be pretty sad.
Fred, you know why? Don't be that naive.
No, I mean, you spent the money on the tickets. You know what the rules are when you get there. Do you really want to go there and be turned away?
Most of these people are season ticket holders who got, you know, the privileged seats, so they're going to feel entitled probably to kind of, hey, they won't mind if I bring in this little flask.
Hey, sir, why does your wallet sound like it has liquid in it? That's unusual.
Exactly.
Well, no, it's medicinal.
Oh, I'm sure. Medicinal vodka, gotcha.
Well, it's water. I have to drink this. The doctor told me I've got to stay hydrated, and I've got to drink this once every 15 minutes.
Okay, we got water for you inside. We just leave that one here.
Yeah, but this has been treated. This is medicinally treated.
It is treated, all right.
Yeah, I bet it. Yeah, that's for sure. Okay. One guy that will not be going into the game tonight is out on the streets. He is the homeless man from USC that snuck in, played on the football team, at least at practice, got in the jacuzzi, slept in a suite. Is there an update on this man? No one's really reported it. But the guy that broke the story is Scott Wolf. And Scott, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, the mystery continues, Scott. You originally were the person that broke the story about the homeless man at USC. What more have we learned?
This is a really weird story, and I don't know where to begin in a way. But
from the beginning, Scott, just from the beginning. I need to hear it all. as a former Trojan and been in that locker room, I need to hear everything.
Yeah, you probably had some homeless guys with you, too. I'm trying to think
absolutely.
Back.
Absolutely. When you broke it, I did tell a couple stories about kids and a lot of people hanging around practices in the campus, and we inviting them in and giving them food and letting them hang out with us from time to time. But nothing like this, Scott. So, yeah, so start from the beginning for us.
Well, I think he got into practice last week by saying he was Rodney Pete for what that's worth.
That'll only get you so far.
But, okay, I'm going to start at the beginning. This guy was found originally living in at the soccer field, which is a couple blocks from campus. And they actually caught him and cited him for trespassing, released him. Then somehow he ended up living in a suite at the Coliseum. And don't ask me how he got in or what he was doing, but that was his new home. Then the stuff that just boggles my mind, I know Rodney's been to the McKay Center. You need like a fingerprint to get through the door. He was just getting in there. He does look like a football player. He can blend in really well with the students. So he's really good at that. And, you know, he was going in there. He was using the jacuzzi. He was walking into the dining facility where you need like a wristband to eat. I don't know how he got through that. There's been some lax security, I guess. Keep in mind, this is all happening during COVID when you're not even supposed to be on campus if you have, you know, don't have clearance. So things are supposed to be even tighter than normal. So he was eating there using the jacuzzi. I think he was kind of like becoming friends with some of the guys on the team. And it culminated 2 weeks ago. They started spring practice. He walks into the McKay Center. He grabs a jersey, a helmet, and a pair of cleats. He already had shorts of his own. He goes out to the field and starts returning punts just on his own. Jumps into the punt drill. So one of the guys is like, "Who's this guy?" Because he's like number 87, and normal number 87 is like 6'4", and this guy's like 5'10". So they kind of look at each other, and they finally like ask him who he is, and they kind of like escort him off, and they tried to detain him. I heard the secretary like kind of tried to put a move on him to detain him, and they called security, who again cited him, but then I heard the next day he was still hanging around, so... I'm just waiting for the movie deal now to come into the play. Maybe Rodney can help them out there.
No. Kind of get around there. There's so much technology that's involved. I don't understand how he was able to go in and out. And did he follow people in? And when the door opened, it's baffling. And then on top of that, at the security wise. That's why it's kind of strange to me that there wasn't somebody on the inside maybe helping him.
Yeah, and I know, like, as good as the security is, I know there's times where, like, someone will stick a towel in a doorway to keep a door open and stuff like that. But how he was able to, like, just waltz in there and grab a helmet and a jersey and cleats is, like, amazing to me, because that stuff is supposed to be, like, handed to somebody, not taken. Yeah. So I don't know, and I don't understand. You know, USC had a word about it either, which is the other crazy part of this whole thing. So I don't think they want anyone to know about it either. So it's just a weird story.
Scott, how old is this guy? I mean, could he blend in with the players? Was he 47? And I mean, how old was the guy?
He's not Rodney now. Come on. I ran a picture of him on my blog, and he does look like a player. Like, he blends in pretty well. And I ran a picture of him in the jacuzzi.
Yeah, I saw it.
I saw that, too.
Pretty Yeah. Looked pretty happy so in the jacuzzi.
That is the guy.
Yeah. I've had people in the athletic department confirm to me that that was the guy.
Why don't they want anybody to know?
I think they're just embarrassed, and they don't like any kind of bad publicity. You know, they've been on edge for bad publicity for 2-3 years now with Clay Helton. So they don't want anything else to come out that's going to embarrass them at this point.
Yeah, his mistake was probably grabbing that jersey and helmet and going out to practice, because he probably had a cushy situation of just, I'll just hang around the McKay Center and never leave. But he got exposed when he tried to go out and catch punts. I mean, bad management, I guess. Bad
advice. He might have been in a game. He might have gotten into a game in September, though, if he was good at the return.
So, all right, so what happened to the guy? Do we know? Whatever, they ran him out of there. Where is he now?
I heard that people saw him, like, the next day after he got arrested. So he's somewhere around there, but I don't think he's hanging around the football facilities as much as before. Because now everybody's on edge. Like, you know, the next day, of course, they're going to have, like, twice the security, and everybody's going to be checking, like, the players' faces through the helmets as they walk into the practice field. So everybody's on edge right now, but they just gave him, like, a slap on the wrist from what I heard.
It's real quick. Yeah, no, it's you know, we joke about it, but like you mentioned, in the middle of COVID and all those type of things, it's pretty scary. You know, with people being able to infiltrate a situation, who knows what motive he may have had or had. I mean, obviously he's, you know, he was a homeless man with no bad intentions, but who's to say there wasn't somebody else with some bad intentions that were able to infiltrate like that? It could have been a scary situation. That's probably why USC is not mentioning it too much.
They've suspended people for going to parties, athletes, and then this guy's just mingling around. So it's crazy.
Indeed. All right, well, Scott Wolf, proprietor of the Inside USC blog. You can find at insideusc.blog. You can follow him on Twitter at Inside USC. He's covered USC football for decades. You're the man, Scott. Thank you for uncovering this at the very beginning, and thank you for the update today.
And Rodney, don't get any ideas from all this.
Hey, Scott, let's work together on the movie rights.
Yeah, let's do that.
Always working. Always working, Rodney. All right, when we come back, we'll get you caught up on what's been happening today with It's Lit. Vinny Bonsignor will come on. We'll talk NFL next hour as well.